Here are the directions for part two. In this part, you will hear six passages, A through F. Each passage will be followed by two questions, number 13 through number 24. For each question, you will have 10 seconds to choose the best answer and mark your answer on your answer sheet. The passage and the questions will be given only once. Now, let's begin.
A. The Lucayans. The Lucayans were the indigenous people of the Bahamas, a group of islands in the western Atlantic Ocean. Spanish colonizers who arrived in the 1400s in search of riches believed these islands were essentially useless, as they did not contain gold. The colonizers enslaved large numbers of Lucayans to work on other islands. This, in combination with the introduction of diseases, led to the near extinction of the Lucayans by the mid-16th century. In the 1800s, a large number of Lucayan artifacts, including wood carvings and canoes, were discovered in the Bahamas. By the late 20th century, however, most of these had been destroyed by rising sea levels, as well as construction, agricultural development, and efforts to mine the islands for bat droppings, which are a valuable fertilizer. Nevertheless, archaeologists believe underwater caves around the islands contain undiscovered artifacts that can add to scholars' knowledge of Lucayan culture.
Questions. Number 13. What did Spanish colonizers believe about the islands of the Bahamas? Number 14. According to the speaker, what is true about most known Lucayan artifacts?
B. History of the teddy bear. Teddy bears have been popular with children worldwide since their invention in the early 1900s. While the stuffed toys are generally considered lovable symbols of comfort and joy, they initially sparked some concerns. As teddy bears became a fixture in toy closets, there were fears that playing with them rather than human-like dolls would result in girls losing their maternal instinct. Some people even predicted this would lead to falling birth rates. While such fears eventually disappeared, author John Mualim suggests the acceptance of teddy bears did, in fact, correlate with another shift in society. As urbanization brought people away from rural areas where animals like brown bears were a threat, they came to view the bears as cute rather than ferocious. Mualim notes that, more recently, a similar phenomenon has occurred with polar bears, as climate change-related habitat loss has led people to see them as delicate victims rather than terrifying predators.
Questions. Number 15. According to the speaker, what did some people once believe about teddy bears? Number 16. What point does John Mualim make about polar bears?
C. Listening to languages. There are thought to be around 7,000 languages used around the world. And these languages are often grouped into families. The languages in each family share similarities and are believed to have evolved from the same original language. Much of the research into categorizing languages has focused on language structures, but a recent study took a different approach. The researchers analyzed the sounds of hundreds of languages, comparing their sonority or loudness. The study's results suggest that languages that developed in warm areas are louder than those that developed in cold ones. One explanation for this is that the air is drier in cold climates. Producing louder sounds requires vibrating the vocal cords more, which is harder to do in dry air. An opposing theory relates to the fact that in many tropical areas, sounds bend upward while moving through the air at low altitudes. Higher sonority sounds carry through the air more easily, which explains why they may be preferable in warm areas.
Questions. Number 17. What does the speaker say about the relationships between languages? Number 18. What did a recent study suggest? D. Race walking. Despite the fact that race walking has been an Olympic sport since the early 1900s, it attracts far fewer spectators than running events. The sport is often considered to be easy or is wrongly thought to be something that unsuccessful runners end up doing. In fact, race walking requires a technique that is very different from running. It was also once one of America's most popular sports. Race walking is believed to have originated in England during the 1800s, when wealthy people employed servants known as footmen to walk alongside their carriages. As a form of entertainment, some people had their footmen race each other and placed bets on who would win. This developed into a spectator sport known as pedestrianism, which later found its way to the United States. There, it gained widespread popularity, with hundreds of spectators going to see events held in indoor arenas. It also produced some of the nation's first celebrity athletes.
Questions. Number 19. What does the speaker say about race walking? Number 20. What is one thing we learn about pedestrianism?
E. The Frankfurt Kitchen. Designed in 1926 by the Austrian architect Margarete Schütte-Lihotzky, the Frankfurt Kitchen was highly influential in the development of cooking spaces. To reduce the amount of physical effort needed and save time, she created a design where all cupboards, the stove, and the sink were within easy reach. The kitchens also had modern electric stoves instead of wood-burning ones, and every element of the design had a purpose. Even the cupboards and drawers' blue paint was chosen because researchers believed at the time that flies avoided blue surfaces. Previously, most kitchens had been combined with living rooms, and people did everything from bathing to sleeping in them. However, the Frankfurt Kitchen was entirely separate. While Schütte-Lihotzky's intention was to improve women's quality of life, there were several complaints. One was that women were unable to be with their families and watch their children while preparing meals.
Questions. Number 21. What is one thing that was special about the design of the Frankfurt Kitchen? Number 22. Why did some people complain about the Frankfurt Kitchen? F. Working together. Norway and Indonesia may be different in terms of geographical location, climate, culture, and population. However, both nations are playing an important role in addressing climate change. They have signed an agreement to reduce carbon emissions from deforestation. According to officials, deforestation is slowing in Indonesia, and the country aims to eventually store more carbon than it releases. Under the agreement, Norway will financially support such sustainability efforts as they show results. The program involves eco-friendly forest management efforts and replanting of forests, including carbon-dense mangroves in Indonesia. As the rates of deforestation and CO2 emissions decrease, Norway will pay more funds. The two countries say they will exchange technical knowledge and that they will get local communities in Indonesia involved in helping protect and manage forests. Some people hope the agreement will open the way for other countries or the private sector to support other conservation programs in the future.
Questions. Number 23. What is one objective of the agreement between Norway and Indonesia? Number 24. What is one feature of the program?